What a party. Just needed some time by myself. Did not expect all of you to be out here. What are you doing in my backyard anyway? You know you're invited to the party. My father wants everyone to be there. I mean, if I'm welcome at the party, you're definitely welcome there. To be honest, the party's actually for me. This is not at all what I expected today. If you would have seen me this morning when I came back to town, you would not have recognized me. Now I've got my father's coat. I've got his ring. I'm wearing his sandals. I cannot believe what has happened today. Actually, since you're here and I'm here, maybe I could tell you the story. I need a chance to just rehearse it one more time, just to see if it actually really happened. It's so unbelievable. I grew up right here in this house, and I had a good childhood. My father is a good and generous man. I have one older brother, and my father made sure we had everything we needed. We were never hungry. We were never unsafe. It was a good place. But as I grew up, I started to feel like it was just a little confined. My father was keeping something from us. I heard about how people lived in other places, and it sounded like a lot of fun. As I continued to grow, I felt that feeling getting stronger inside of me. Like there was something that I was missing and I needed to have it. One night I came in and my father was sitting at his desk. I don't know what came over me, but all of a sudden I just said, "Father, I want my inheritance." He slowly looks up from his desk. He says, "Son, of course you will get your inheritance when it's time." But the words were already coming out of my mouth before I knew what I was saying. I said, "Father, I want it now." In my culture, that's like saying, "Father, I wish that you were dead." We don't give our children their inheritance until the father passes away, and to ask for it early was about the most offensive thing that you could do to a father. I know my friends' fathers. I know the other fathers at the synagogue. They would not let their children talk to them that way. They would definitely come after them with fists or at least screaming, chasing them out of the room. My father just looked down and then he asked me to leave. A while later, he called me back in, and I could see that he had some papers on the table, and they were deeds to the land. You see, we didn't have bank accounts. We didn't keep our money in purses or anything else. We kept our money in the land. The land was passed down from generation to generation. My father had inherited a lot of land when his father died, and one day at least a third of that land was going to be mine. But now that I had demanded it early, I was shocked as my father handed me a deed to one third of his land. My hand was shaking as I grabbed it, and I ran out of the room. I couldn't be in my father's presence any longer. Now, land is really hard to come by in my country. And so when someone is selling it, there's a lot of people who are interested. It didn't take me long to find somebody who would give me a very healthy sum for my father's land. I quickly did the paperwork, gave him the deed. I took the money, gathered all of my possessions as fast as I could, and I started out of the house. As I got to the end of the driveway, I looked back at the house. I knew that there was no way that I would ever be able to come home again. Then, as I started to make my way down the road, I could feel the stares of the people in the community. My father hadn't told anyone what had happened, but somehow word had gotten out, and I had humiliated my father. Everybody knew about it, and everybody judged me as I walked past the neighbors, as I walked through the town, and as I made my way out into the country. Everybody knew what I had done, and I was ashamed for the shame that I had brought on my family. I knew that I could never make my face be seen again in this town, not after the embarrassment that I brought on my family. Well, I kept walking because I had heard about a distant country. Distant country that didn't have the kind of rules that my country had. A distant country that was more free and more open. And as I made my way, there were so many times where I thought, I've made a terrible mistake. I should just turn around and go back to my father, where I know the people, where people know me, where I know where I'm accepted and loved. But I could never go back, not after what I had done. Eventually, I arrived at the country I was heading toward, and people realized that I had money, and people realized that I was there for a good time. I started to throw parties, and people started to show up. And that's when I thought, yeah, my dad was actually keeping something from me. This is fun. All of the wine, all of the women, anything I ever wanted was mine. And those parties were something else until the money ran out. And then all of my friends that had suddenly appeared disappeared just as quickly. I found myself all alone, a stranger in a strange land, without any money. I realized I had to do something to survive, so I started looking for work. It just so happened that there was a horrible famine there. There weren't any crops, there wasn't any food, there weren't any jobs, especially for a stranger. I went to one man, he was a pig farmer. I asked him for a job. He was too polite to say no, so he gave me the only job that he knew that I would not accept, the job of feeding his pigs. In my country, pigs are filthy animals. Maybe they are in your country as well. I don't know. But we do not touch them. There aren't any in our country. They are disgusting. And we've been told to stay away from them. I didn't know why until I decided that I was so desperate that I took the job. And I started feeding this man's pigs. It was the slop that was picked up in town, just rubbish and trash that was completely inedible, even for pigs. And every morning I would collect it and I would make my way to the pigsty and I would dump it out in front of them. I was paid so little that I wasn't able to get enough food for myself. My belly was empty. I didn't have money to buy clothes. I desperately wanted to eat the rubbish that I was feeding to the pigs. I was so hungry. I was covered in dirt. I wasn't able to bathe. I was filthy. I was disgusting. I was far from my father, and I was far from my God. I felt completely unlovable, unworthy, absolutely worthless. And I thought I deserved it. After all, I had embarrassed my father in front of the entire community. I had done the unthinkable to a good and generous father. I was now getting exactly what I deserved. One night, as I lie awake, thinking about where I might get some more food, I had a vision of my house. I remembered the men who would come during the day And my father would hire them to work for the day on his estate, and then he would pay them a wage, and they would go home. He would pay them enough that they could actually put food on their tables. Maybe even enough, and there was enough to feed their families, maybe a little bit extra to save. I realized that maybe I could go home and I could say to my father, I know I'm not worthy to be called your son, but at least you could hire me to be one of these workers that comes in during the day, and I will work so hard for you. I'll work like my older brother works for you. I will come in every day, do my work. I will go home. I will eat very little. I'll sleep out under the stars, and I'll start saving up so that I can pay you back. It was a stupid plan. First of all, of course my father wasn't going to accept me when I came home. And then to think that I could work hard enough as a day laborer to pay him back, it would take millions of years to be able to pay back what I had done to my father. It was also the only plan that I had. I was so desperate. I was not going to survive in that country. I had hit rock bottom. And so finally I decided this was my only hope. I was going to go home and face my father. And whatever he decided to do for me, I was going to have to accept. So the next morning, I started to make my way back to my home country. As I did, I rehearsed my speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me like one of your hired servants. Every time I said the speech, the more and more I said it, the more and more I realized how impossible it was. There was no way that my father was going to accept this arrangement. There was no way that I could ever pay him back after what I had done for him. There were so many times where I wanted to just turn back, or I wanted to just die. There was something that kept me going home. There was some hope. It was the only thing that I had to cling to. It was just this morning when I got to the edge of our town. I started to walk down Main Street. It's the only way to get to our house. As I did, people started to wonder who the stranger was in town. They started to look through their windows. Some of them came out of their houses. And then I heard the gasps, and they realized it was me. The one who had ashamed his father, the one who had humiliated him in front of the entire community. And then I could hear the whispers. Every house that I went by, I could hear them whispering. I know what they were saying, even if I couldn't understand their words. How dare he show his face here again? How dare he think that he has a place in our community? And then they started to say, what's his father going to do? And a crowd actually started to follow me. They were looking forward to this spectacle where my father was going to punish me for the things that I had done. I had nowhere to turn. I had no one to shield me from the comments and the criticisms that were being hurled against me. All I could do was continue heading toward my father. Then I noticed that the whispering stopped. There was a sudden hush that fell on the crowd. I started to look around, and then I started to look down the road toward my house. It was still a long way off, but in the distance, I could see the figure of someone running. I could see it wasn't a little boy, even though he kind of ran like a little boy. Could see that it was an older man who probably hadn't run for a long time. I wiped my eyes, I stared down the road, and suddenly I realized it was my father. He had picked up his robe. You could see his legs. He was embarrassing himself in front of the entire community. All of the eyes were no longer on me, but they are watching my father as he ran down the road toward me. I bowed my head. I thought, man, he must be really angry if he is going to be running toward me to get to me as fast as he could. Before I knew it, I felt his arms wrap around me. I felt his cheek pressed against mine. And then I could feel the tears coming down his eyes. My son, he said, my son who was lost, he's been found. My son who was dead, he's alive again. My father held me in his arms and he smothered me with kisses. I could not believe the gracious reception I was receiving from this man. Finally got a moment to take a breath and I started to rehearse my speech. Father, I am so sorry. I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. My father took his arm, he put it around my neck, and then he looked to his servants. He said, go, get my robe, get my ring, get my sandals. My son is home. I looked around at the crowd. Everyone's eyes were wide open. Their mouths were dropped. They could not believe the gracious welcome that I was receiving. All the shame and all of the criticism and punishment that should have been mine was now directed toward my father. He's way too soft. He's way too kind. How dare he allow his son to be embarrassed like this? My father was willing to be embarrassed. He was willing to be embarrassed more than me, so that he could graciously welcome me home. He sent the servants out into the field, and he told them to kill the fattened calf. And then he started to spread the word. The whole community was invited to come to our house this evening. There was going to be meat, there was going to be music, and there was going to be dancing. I still can't believe that this party is for me. Most of the people around here can't believe that this party is for me. I think the one that can't believe it the most is my older brother. I don't think he's very happy that my father killed the fattened calf for me. My father gave me his robe and his ring and his sandals. The only reason I was able to get out of the party was because my father was going out to talk to my older brother. If I know my father, he will do anything to get my brother into that party. If I know my father, he'd do anything to get anyone into the party. It doesn't matter who they are, how good or how bad that they've been. I would love for you to meet my father someday. He is a good man. I know for me, I'm going to stay close to him. There's no way after seeing his love and his grace for me that I'm ever leaving this house again. I appreciate the clothes. I appreciate the ring. I appreciate the sandals. But at this point, I realize that it's not about my father's things. That I really love my father because I know how much my father loves me. I hope you meet him someday. I think that you would love him too. Come, join the party.